Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
And before we do this morning, I just want to talk about this because we want to celebrate with those that are being water baptized. But we also want to understand the importance of water baptism and understand its meaning in all of our lives for the body of Christ. Can I get amen in here today? So I'm today's message, many of you take notes, which I encourage, amen. We're going to just call it discipleship and water baptism. And as you well know, that even though that I may use some of the same, because there is a limited amount, but there is a large amount of scripture verses concerning water baptism in the New Testament, I'll always minister in a way which I believe that I've never said everything the same, or it's just not the same rote message. Amen. And today I really want it to be what I said before. I believe it is the Holy Spirit was exhorting us this morning, urging us, challenging us, amen, and awakening us to the relationship that God wants us to have with Him in a deepening way, a deepening of consecration, dedication, consecration, once again, and loyalty to the will and way of God for all of our lives. And how many know that that is something, like Pastor Debbie said, is something that's ongoing. It's not just a one and done thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So open your Bibles with me today to Matthew chapter 28, and we want to hear what Jesus said concerning this. And we're going to look at a few things concerning water baptism and believe it will be helpful to us. And then we're going to water baptize the candidates this morning who we ought to put our hands together for right now. Praise the Lord. And this morning's class is much smaller than most of the classes are much larger. But nonetheless, this is why it's important that we provide this. And in every class, we just don't, in every group that we have, we just don't water baptize people. We make sure that they have to come. There's a packet. They come, they pick it up. They know what to expect when they get here. And then they come to a class where which it is taught about water baptism, its purpose, and what to be a candidate for water baptism. Amen. So there's an understanding. But I believe it's always good that we talk about some things concerning this to the whole congregation so we're all on board. Matthew 28, verse 18, please. Jesus said it like this. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, notice here that in verse 19 and 20, in this passage, three verses, he talks about teach or teaching twice. Amen. Now, other translations, this first word teach, also, it just means to make pupils or make disciples. But that's how you do that, is by teaching. This is why the King James Version translates it as teaching. New King James and others says make disciples. Well, it's the word to make a pupil, and you do that, or a student or a follower of Christ. You do that by teaching. So notice the value of teaching. Amen. Twice here. And teaching, the reason why teaching to all of us is so important is because in the things of God, teaching is about establishing beliefs, right beliefs. Establishing right beliefs and making followers of Jesus Christ. Because wrong teaching, you'll never follow Christ. Matter of fact, you go the opposite way. But right beliefs formed by right teaching causes us to have right beliefs and actually make us followers of Jesus Christ. And so notice in these three portions, this three verses, he talks about making disciples. Amen. And then as we look at verse 20, he said, once again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Everybody say obedience. So notice here that it's about teaching, it's about establishing the right belief system, and to make followers of Christ, which is what a disciple is, and making disciples is about, so that also we can obey God. Because it's not enough that we know what Jesus taught, we must obey Him. And people that are loyal to Him obey Him. How many can actually say, you don't have to put your hand up, but you've been in a place into life where which you realize God wanted you to do something that your flesh didn't want to do. Amen. I mean, you could just give the simple example. Not everybody feels like coming to church on Sunday morning. But you know what? It's not about what your outward man says. It's about if you're in a close relationship with Jesus Christ, a close relationship with Jesus Christ is going to lead you in. The Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance scriptures like this. Neglect not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching. So it's all about obedience to God's command. So this is what making disciples, he says, is about. So the teachings of Christ, amen, calls us to follow Christ. Am I right? The teachings of Christ calls us to follow Christ, and as we can see right here, to be water baptized. And so when Jesus called people to follow Him, and that's what discipleship is. Everybody say discipleship is fellowship. Okay, so I'm going to say this again. When Jesus called people to follow Him, He was summoning them to a visible act of obedience. A visible act of obedience. Somebody else should know that you're following Jesus other than Jesus Himself, or we may not really be following Him. Come on. So when I say that He was summoning them to a visible act of obedience, one of which is water baptism. Amen. And so to follow Jesus really is a public act. And so similarly, baptism is a public event. Amen. We're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. He died for us publicly. We announce that He's our Savior, our Lord, and we follow Him publicly as well. And water baptism is one way we do that in obedience to His command. So we could say water baptism is an opportunity to act on one's new profession of faith. Because what we must understand, we are by no means saying that the candidates or the people that are being water baptized today, that the water baptism saves them. Water baptism is something that you do because you have received Christ, because you are following Him. It's something you do after the fact that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. Water baptism cannot save you, but it is an outward act of an inward grace. We could say like this. Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward grace that has already happened or taken place. It's called salvation. What's the inward grace that's already taken? The new birth. You got saved, or a person gets saved or born again by repenting of their sins and making Jesus the Lord of their life. Upon that time, you have received the grace of God that produces salvation in the heart of man, which makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Come on. And from that place, then after that, that's why you get water baptized. Because now water baptism is saying, I'm following Jesus Christ. I have been saved and by the grace of God, and now my fellowship has action. It's called, you know, there is action to faith. Faith is not dead. faith is alive. And one of the acts of faith that is connected to this is water baptism. So what a person is doing, they're testifying. Every candidate today, they're testifying. They're not doing this to be saved. They're doing this testifying, I have received Jesus Christ and I am His follower. And I think it's important that every person understands that. Now, what I'm about to say and the things that I'm saying, some of it is not going to be new to anybody in here. However, there are going to be things that I say, they may be new. What I'm saying is they're deepening our understanding of the importance of water baptism and discipleship. Because water baptism should be like the initial following of once I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. It's one of the initial acts Jesus said that say you're following Him, that you're His disciple. But how many know that you're going to continue as long as you live deepening in your discipleship? And in order to deepen in your discipleship, you have to learn something like you just heard, and you have to understand something. So today, I believe that there's going to be a deepening of that. And through that deepening, this is goes right back where the Holy Spirit was working today about consecration and dedication. Positioning ourselves to go further with Christ, because God wants a loyal people. You know why? Because God wants His will to be done on earth, and He wants you to be caught in the kiss. He wants you to be part of that blessing. Amen. Come on. He loves you already, but He wants you to be the instrument of His workmanship, that you already are, instrument of His power, His glory, the salt and light, because you are, that's what discipleship is really about, the following Him in a way with which our life is lived out as representation of Jesus Christ. So we are called to follow Jesus Christ. Listen, now I'm saying this and I'm qualifying what I'm saying. Because a lot of times, people in other religions even recognize Jesus Christ. But we're to follow Jesus Christ, not as a teacher, nor as a pattern or model of a good life that one could live, but as the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's how we're to follow Him. As the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the only true and living God. We are summoned to an exclusive attachment to His person. And water baptism is a testimony to this fact. Amen. He is my, what we are saying is, He is my personal Lord and Savior, and I have received Him. Hallelujah. So discipleship and water baptism is part of our obedience in following Christ in the will of God for our life. Discipleship is not a loose term. It's something very important and something that God expects every true believer to have an understanding of. And having to know what I'm saying today is we can grow in that. Amen. The main thing is the candidates today know they're saved. They know why, because Jesus is their Lord, and they know that obeying His command of water baptism is a step of faith. It's testifying to the world that Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to follow Him with my life. Amen. It also identifies it, which we most of the time talk about, but we won't even today talk about that, identifies us with His death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. So today, in talking about discipleship and water baptism, we're saying discipleship means following Christ, and it means being a disciple. Are you a disciple? We should be, if Jesus is your Lord. And so what I want to do is read a few thoughts about discipleship that may challenge us. Is that all right? Amen. How many know we need to be challenged? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me read you a few thoughts on discipleship that are not my own. This is Michael L. Brown, who says, in terms of spiritual commitment, what the world calls fanaticism and much of the church calls extremism, Jesus calls being a disciple. You know, the world would say, oh, they're off there. They lost their mind. They're a nutcase. I always say when somebody says, you're a nut, I say, at least I'm on the right boat, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the world, you can't expect the world not think that you're a fanatical. Because your lifestyle, if you're really living for Christ, rubs them the wrong way. It's like the cat sitting in your lap. The cat is all right as long as you petting it in the direction that fur goes. But the moment you take that bad boy and go the other way, that boy is out of your lap. That boy is putting some claws in you. Amen. Because it made it just feel real uncomfortable. And how many know that's why the voice of the devil is so loud in the world today? Amen. Because the real church is making the world feel real uncomfortable. Hallelujah. And on the other side, you'll even find people in the church that will call you extreme. But Jesus calls it being a disciple. Oh, you mean you believe in that baptism of the Holy Spirit? You mean you believe in being prosperous? You mean believe in being healed? You mean believe in being victorious? Come on. See, the world will try to talk you out of these things, but Jesus just simply calls it being a disciple. Hallelujah. Greg Moore said it like this: becoming a believer makes him yours. Becoming a disciple makes you His. How about two more? Vance Havner said it like this: we are long on membership, but short on discipleship. We are more anxious to gather statistics than to grow saints. Now that's the modern church, but let it not be said here. God wants numbers, because numbers represent people. But we can't just be about stats. We have to be. Stats may teach us some things, but we got to be about discipleship. And I can just tell you, there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to want to be discipled. But I'm going to tell you, this is what we're going to do in this church. And it's going to be benefit. Let me just say this. How many can actually say that you have been discipled by coming to this church and it's a benefit by being a disciple, a follower of Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer maybe said it best about discipleship. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. He knew, because he died as an outspoken enemy of Nazism in Germany during World War II. He warned the church about what was coming before it ever came. But the church was asleep. The church said, oh, it could never happen. Oh, that's not that Nazism stuff is never going to get in the church. We'll stand up again. No, the sleeping church allowed the Hitler to march through Germany and then think that it wasn't going to affect them. No, it would affect them. This is why I sound the alarm to the church. True disciples will waken up and say, "There's, if it's something smells fishy, it must be because of some fish going on." And we cannot be silent in the face of tyranny or the things that are happening in this world, but we must be strong for Christ and we must grow for Christ and be disciples of Jesus Christ at all costs. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Christianity without, and here's a tough situation, here's a tough statement. So Christianity, see, so what I say is Christianity in its short term just means followers of Christ. Those that are of the way or are followers of Christ. So, but listen to this. So Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. So we could say we want Christ without discipleship, but there is no such thing. And see, I told you I was going to challenge you. Discipleship is about coming to Christ on His terms and not our own.
We forfeit our own rights for His will and our obedience to Him when we really understand what God is doing. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles. I'm almost finished. Look at your neighbor and say, please wake up. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 19. Praise God. I know we all come to celebrate with those who are going to be water baptized. Hope to hear some celebration testimonies. But either way, we celebrate because they have made an act of faith to say, Jesus is my Lord. I'm telling the world, I'm following Him. And we rejoice with that. Hallelujah. Faith is public. It's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is why we witness. This is why we share. In Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to turn there myself. In Matthew chapter 19, follow along with me in this little story here that Jesus told. Hallelujah. And actually, it's more than a story that He told. This is something that He addressed in a person. This is not a parable. This happened. Okay, and so He said here, and behold, one came and said unto Him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, why call you thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now see, a lot of times people will stop there and say, well, see, Jesus didn't think He was God. Well, you know what? What He was saying there was this. He saw through the pretense of this man's agenda, his heart, his motives. He already knew that this man didn't believe He was God. This is why He questioned Him. Why call you me God? Oh, there's only one good. See, this man was being very hypocritical. Amen. No, when Jesus stood up and said, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or Peter testified to that back. He says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Yeah. Jesus went to the cross because He said, I am the Son of God. Amen. He died for who He truly was, the Savior and the only Savior and Son of God of the world. So this is why He said, why call you thou me good? Because He saw through the man's pretense and He knew the man didn't really believe He was. How many know that God sees through all our pretenses too? And see, we can try to look right and do all these kind of things, but God sees through it all. But the good thing is God is always merciful and He's always trying to get us to Him. Whether we were trying to get to Him or not, let me tell you something. God was always trying to get us to Him. Hallelujah. Here's a good example of that. He says, there is none good but one, that is God. But if y'all will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto Jesus, all these things have I kept from my youth up. How many young people we got in here today? Let me qualify that. How many people they got under 20 in here today? Praise the Lord. We got some. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Legitimate question. Amen. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? So notice, one of the dangers of life is self-justification before God. God's way is always right. Our way may not be right. Our way is only right if it's God's way. And see, so many times we make all kind of excuses. Notice this man says, all these things I've kept. Oh, man, look at me. I've kept. And what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, that's the one question he should have left out. I've done all these things, God. What more do you want from me? Oh, he's got something. Praise the Lord. Because he sees what's holding you back from all what he really has for you. Here it is, right here. Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, no longer that word perfect mess you up. It means spiritually mature. If he says, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Everybody say, be my disciple. See, this is what God wants. Jesus still wants disciples. We're going to follow something. For me, the first 24 years of my life, or at least the last half of that, was hunting and fishing. I was following something, not someone. But make no mistake about it, there are people that are following things and people and not Jesus Christ. That will be exposed. And you better thank God that it's exposed before it's too late, so that you can make a decision in this life. It may hurt temporarily now, but that's better than dying and being in hell and burning, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. God didn't design you and I go to hell. He said that was created for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. So why it was there for them. But if we do not follow God's way, then we have already sided with the devil. So what I'm saying is, God wants us to understand there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And He wants us in heaven. And if it takes confronting what's keeping us from there, then thank God for it. I thank God today that I was confronted with what was keeping me out of heaven. What was keeping me from Jesus Christ, what was causing me to go my own way, having my own thoughts, even self-justifying, just like this young man. I've done all that. But what lackest thou? And then, boom, he unloads it on him. Verse 21 again, if you'll be spiritually mature, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He went away. He went away. He went away. He left Jesus. He loved his things more than he loved Jesus. What things do we love more than Jesus? Come on, it shouldn't be anything. God don't mind us having things. He doesn't want things to have us. Notice he went away. I can tell you every person that's ever come to Christ have had to turn their back on things, have had to turn their back on situations, circumstances, and things that bid for the place of Almighty God in their life. I'm just reminding of this. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. One translation said he was extremely wealthy. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter, or in other words, that means it's very hard for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because it's hard for them to put that second. Let me tell you something, one reason why tithes and offerings are so important. Because God knew the very first thing that was going to bid for his place in your heart was money. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through a needle of an eye than a rich man to enter to the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, listen, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Now notice what Jesus' answer was. But Jesus beheld them and said unto him, with men this is impossible. In other words, you can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't fix yourself. You can't earn your way into heaven. Ain't nothing you can do to get there in and of yourself. But he said, but with God all things are possible. What he's saying, outside of the grace of God, there ain't nothing you can do to get to heaven. But no, God has turned the impossible around and made it possible through his grace. He has provided a means by which you and I can be saved if we would just repent of our sins and surrender to him and say, Jesus, I'm doing it your way. I'm going to follow you. And it will cost you something. It'll cost you the giving of your will over to his will. But it'll be the greatest decision you ever made in your life. The devil wants to tell you that it'll be, you know, all you're missing. All the things. Let me tell you what I have missed in the last 38 years. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, want, hatred, fear, failure, weakness. I missed all of that. But I'm thankful I missed it. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what the world calls fun, listen, if you call hugging a toilet, if you call throwing up, if you call getting a buzz to lose your mind so you can forget about all your problems temporarily, come on, and the list goes on and on and on, then you can call it what you want to. But I can just tell you right now, I'd rather have the other. As a matter of fact, I have made up my mind long ago, I ain't got nothing to go back to. Because it's so minuscule and so insignificant. I thank God every day. The things that I was, you know, I think about Dr. Ben. You're sitting over there this morning, wave at me. Me and him should have been killed a couple times. Working together and as teenagers, doing crazy stuff. Amen. Things that are not as crazy as what people do today. But I just thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace. And think that you're having fun. You know, I can laugh about those things now, but I turn and say, Dr. Ben, I just thank God that God spared us, that God had mercy, that God saw that you and I were going to come to Him and yield to Him and follow Him. He had mercy on that night that we did. He had mercy on that night. And we can laugh at the crazy things that we did. Because really it was about us hurting each other. And it wasn't really about hurting other people, even though either way was wrong. So I'm not rejoicing in sin. What I am saying is, you know what? Woo, glory to God. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you that you saw salvation. You saw, you had a call, you had a plan, and you were working all things out. So I was confronted to see the truth about me. And in that moment, it may be the hardest thing and the most difficult thing and cause pain in yourself, but in the end result, it'll be beautiful because as you surrender to Him and come follow Him, He will make you something. He will make you into the person He designed you to be as a workmanship of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful fragrance and the incense of God through Jesus Christ in the nostrils of God, a scent, it says, of death to the world that hates Him, but alive to a world that wants Him. So you know what? You may stink. This is why you walk into some places and people turn up their nose to you, because you just brought an aroma of Christ in with you into the world that is dying, that stinks, that puts a crimp in their hose, that puts that bothers them. But I can tell you, the Bible says that, you know what? What we should love them enough. We should love them enough. Come on. We should love them enough. Let me find this verse. We should love them enough to tell them. To tell them. To tell them. Understand why they turn up. Understand why they're talking behind your back. Understand all those things. But love them enough to know that you can't leave them there, that place. The scripture says a true witness delivers souls. Proverbs 14:25. Amen. Praise God. I got another one for you here if I can find it. If not, you got time. I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Here it is. I love this one. Proverbs 29. I thought about it many times. Verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. You know you hate it by some people? But here's what the scripture didn't stop right there. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek their souls. You seek their soul. You go after them. You stick with it. You don't let that mess you up because they hate you. They talk about you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. But be of good cheer, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon every believer that witnesses for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So notice, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, you can't save yourself, but the grace of God is extended out towards us today. You know, the grace of God was for that man right there who had everything. He had every material need that he could have, and he was unwilling. Listen, Jesus just wanted his heart. He just, listen, all he wants is your heart. And so whether you have $100 million or you got $1, all he's looking for is your heart anyway. I'm sure if this man had done what Jesus said, that he wouldn't have lost anything except the riches he currently had. He would have gained so much more, and God would have added whatever he had need of. He would have not have lacked or wanted for anything. But he saw the riches of this world greater glory than the Messiah that was standing in front of him, who he called good and called God. If he really thought he was, then he would have turned. But let me just tell you something today. He is, and he's alive. And we're going to get ready to water baptize those candidates in just one moment. But before we do, come on, Brother Ryan, would you come and help me? I want to talk about this in closing, because all of us, I hope this helped us today as disciples and followers of Christ to deepen our commitment. That there's a whole thing that today, from the songs to Pastor Debbie's exhortation to the message, tithe day, everything, it just worked together concerning this. Nobody knew what I was going to share. I didn't. Matter of fact, I didn't know everything I was going to share until about 20 minutes before I got out of here. But the truth is, God loves us, and He wants heaven. He wants you to be a disciple. Now, the majority of every person in this room is a follower of Christ. My job was to help deepen that discipleship to further. And it's by one commitment at a time. You cross those bridges. Doesn't mean that you have to be resaved. It just means that you cross these things where you hit a barrier where you say, you know, I surrender in this area to follow Him, to be more Christ-like. How many know we are all growing in that? So don't feel like you're the lone ranger in here today. The truth is, all of us have been challenged, and we should be, or it wasn't the Word of God. How many know the disciples that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years were challenged daily? They were challenged to the core. And they were a pretty motley crew. I mean, to tell you, you think about it. You're talking about walking with Jesus, and then you got this thing like, Mama, come with me. Yeah, you know what we want. Go talk to the Master. He'll do it for you. Oh, well, when you come into your kingdom, will my sons be able to sit at your right hand and your left? That was his disciples. How about the one where they see the other disciple casting out devils in Jesus' name? And they say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they come to Jesus with their chest puffed out and say, we just saw this guy over here casting out demons in your name. We told him, don't do that, because they ain't walking with us. Jesus said, forbid them not. There's no man that can do that that's not for me. So we got all these things that we walk through. And think about this. God never stopped loving us. God never stopped caring for us. I think about it all the time. The things that we tripped up in, even tripping up in today. God is still patient and His kind. Does He like those things? No, but He'll confront them so that we can do it His way and win over them. So I'm talking to disciples. But in making disciples, it is my job to make those followers, but it's also my job to invite people to follow Him. You think about it one moment. Pastor Doug and I was at a place not too long ago together, and I just shared. I just think about who the people that Jesus called. He called people that didn't have high education, just average people, workers. In other words, He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors, people that people hated. The Jews hated tax collectors. Don't sound like it's too different today. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what I'm saying? So God couldn't use all those people, the people that Jesus chose. And he busted up in those places and said, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. So today, what I'm saying is, I just think about all the people that, see, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that in our own minds, none of us qualify. And that keeps us away. And you know what? The people that look at you say, a lot of times, Zach Hudgens, are you kidding me? Donald Hensley, you kidding me? See, that's what the world, but the devil will use people, just like God uses people, to try to defeat you and make you feel less than. But God chooses those that man rejects. And he doesn't choose you based upon all your worldly qualifications. Matter of fact, he's looking for the people that are just going in the opposite way. He said, can he follow me? But we have to make that choice. So what am I saying? I'm saying we get to this place today, we're going to walk about baptize people that are following Christ. I'm not asking anyone else to be water baptized today, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to follow him today. I'm telling you, he loves you. And I'm telling you that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I want to blow your mind today on a few things, at least some of you. Did you know that heaven is not for good, perfect, or religious people? Heaven is for people who have been forgiven. And forgiveness is available because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We all get to heaven one way. Not on our works, not on our good merits, but because we have come to God and repented of our sins and asked forgiveness. There's only going to be forgiven people there. Not people that are self-righteous. Not people that got there on their own way. We can never earn our way to heaven. So relax. That means if you can't earn your way into heaven, I also want you to know all these bad things you've done is not what's keeping you out of heaven. What's keeping you out of heaven is not a relationship with the one that gets you there. And that's Jesus Christ. We must completely rely on the work of Jesus Christ. And the gospel, which means good news, is simply how God makes man right with himself. How God makes man right with himself. How does he do that? You can spell it with five letters. J-U-S-U-S. Jesus. D.L. Moody said it, if you don't enter the kingdom of heaven by God's way, you cannot enter at all. He went on to say, none will walk the celestial pavement of heaven but those washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And when we come to Christ and repent of our sins and that blood washes over us, then his Holy Spirit, who we talked about at the beginning of the service this morning, comes and regenerates our spirits and makes us new creatures in Christ, gives us the life of God, gives us eternal life, and causes us to have the same identical life that Jesus Christ has. He died and gave that to us so that we could have eternal life. That means not just a duration of life, but quality of life and right standing with God. And God invites you and I all to that life. And the only way we can have it is through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not eternal life. So today is simple. You know whether you have Jesus or not. I know whether I got keys in my pocket or not. The truth is, if you question whether you got Jesus in your heart or not, then you need to assure yourself of it. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. Or if you don't know, then that's the main reason to do this right now. You can make him the Lord of your life today. He loves you. He's patient with us. And he'll help you. The first step is making him Lord. And then he's going to help you to follow him, and your life will be changed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.